Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. This is the place where we say Jesus is the way. Everything else is a conversation, and we have a special conversation today with Josh Mason. Welcome, man. Good to have you in here.
Good to be here.
Typically, Arnick, Deli, Jeremy, and I are around the mics, but rounding out this month on guidance, had an opportunity to invite Josh in. So looking forward to this conversation. Again, we've been working through the book Celebration of Discipline, which a lot of us want to just retitle Celebration of Discipleship as we look at these internal, external, and corporate things. So we're talking about guidance as both corporate and individual. So it's difficult, I think it's impossible to actually keep them from Venn diagram, you know, keep them from spilling over onto each other. So I'm sure we'll get into your story, how you connected here with Christway, and how God's guided you through that. But let's talk about that with personal corporate guidance, what that even means, looks like. When you think about guidance, when you think about God and guidance, what comes to your mind? What kind of things catch you?
I think personally, and my personality, I am the guy that wants to do things on my own. I want to make the right decisions because I have learned or have education or I'm leading my family. And so I, in the past, have not looked for a lot of guidance in my personal life. I've just said, you know, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to seek the Lord.
Interesting.
And
so I'm going to seek the Lord.
I'm going to seek the Lord and still do it on my own.
And do it on my own.
Now, I think that's changed over the years as I've made the difficult decisions that didn't work out the way I wanted. And so I guess now I look at it as, like you said, it goes together corporately and personally. I now am in a place where everything I do, I really want the Lord's direction. I really want guidance. I don't want to make the decision based out of my own knowledge, so to speak.
So let's run down that road a little bit, because you're not the anomaly here, I'm sure. And it's echoing with me. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't even that long ago. Yeah. And I've said it recently. I've heard it on the podcast. It was probably earlier this year. It was a first Wednesday. And we were praying, and I was over on the left side of the platform by myself, kneeling, just kind of an open prayer moment. And I felt the Lord prompt me, speak to me, and say, you treat me like a business partner. Mm-hmm. You don't treat me like a father, right? And man, I revisited that like yesterday in prayer, right? That whole thing about my relationship with the Lord. So what's interesting, what I heard that's interesting is you are seeking God. You were seeking God. You'd ask God for guidance. And then somewhere down the path, whatever that was, consciously or subconsciously, unconsciously, you're going to kind of just gather information and then make a decision. That's what it felt like to me. He says, you treat me like a business partner.
I think that's the exact idea. You know, it's more of a, yeah, God, I really want to hear what you say about this. And I hope it lines up with what I want to do at times.
But we're smarter than that, man.
We are.
We know that. And yet we still
fall.
I know, but isn't that's crazy.
And it's a,
because we're God-fearing men. Like, we're godly people. We seek the Lord.
We do.
We can quote the verses. Like we know them. But what a subtle, I'm going to even say a subtle trap. What a subtle little trap that we, do you think we do that? And this is conjecture, but do you think we do that kind of, well, we sought God and like it's a green light? Like I sought God and I think there's this thing in guidance where controlled by negation, right? As long as you don't tell me no, we're good to go.
We're good. Let's go. Yeah. The door doesn't close. I can walk right through it, right?
Oh, man.
I
think that's not the same as give me the green light.
That's true. I think there is there's some line, have no idea where it is, and it probably changes all the time, that says God will bless you wherever you go, but there are decisions that are yes and no.
Yeah.
And obviously, if there's sin in the way, that's different. But I believe there's places where we can go that it doesn't mean he doesn't bless us, but things don't work out exactly how they play out in your mind. Or you look back and think, I probably could have tweaked out a little bit, and God was probably telling me that, but I didn't pick up on it.
I told a story a couple of weeks ago where a guy that was just a large mentor in my life, and kind of not directly, more indirectly, like he spoke to me, but he was huge friends with my father-in-law. He was seeking God to go to Atlanta or West Texas or whatever it was. Sought prayer, fasting, hours, late nights, whole thing. He's leaving the church. He tells a story. He's leaving the church, and he's got a 3-block walk to his house, and the Lord just says, "I'll bless you wherever you go. Just pick one." He told me that. He told us that.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What? Like, that's not how that works. Like, we can't just what?" And so I was in my 30s, so that's 20 years ago. That I began to consider that, right? The Lord is going to bless me where I go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which I think needs some face time, right? To do some time with that and recognize I don't have to wrap myself around the axle where I can't get anything wrong. You know, I just can't, I'm paralyzed. I can't make a decision. And yet what you're alluding to is, and there is some direction that is involved, real time direction,
absolutely,
with changes,
yeah,
along the way.
Yeah, my family and I lived overseas in South Africa for a few years, and I fell in love with South Africa and the whole continent. There's this saying, you know, once you go to Africa, it becomes a piece of part of you, and that was me. I loved it. I absolutely loved
That's awesome.
It. We ended up moving on to a 50-acre farm. And for me and my personality and what I love to do, I was in heaven, literally. Like, this was heaven on earth for me. And it came a point later down the road of our journey there where we felt like, Mindy and I, my wife, felt like we were being asked to leave. And I was like, no, like, that is not what's happening. I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. I'm good here. The kids will get raised here. We'll be good, right? And I was just resisting God's prompting to go. And I thought, I just love it. It's about me, is really what was happening.
Yeah.
But I had a dream. And I think this is the important part, is God took me to the top of a mountain where I could see two valleys. In one valley, I saw a picture of our farm, and it was living. There was a lot of great things happening. People lived on the farm. There was a children's home. There was a community center. There was agriculture. There were jobs being created, and it was awesome. And then the other valley was clouded over, and it was the unknown. And he said, I'm asking you to go somewhere you don't know. Are you willing to go? If you stay, yeah, I'll bless it. But there's the unknown. And I mean, overwhelmingly, I knew I had to walk down the path to the clouded valley and not knowing what was going to happen. So,
yeah.
Why, I don't know.
But so once that happened, how long did it take for the plane ride west?
3 or 4 months, we were gone.
Yeah. And then where'd you land in the States? Because that's the clouded valley.
I might be still walking towards the
Christway, the clouded valley.
Yeah, there we go. We are from Idaho, so we went back to Idaho. We served at a children's home there for a year while we kind of acclimated back to American culture, and that was definitely part of the clouded valley. We didn't know.
What was the scenario where you went back, and that was a homeless shelter, right? That wasn't the children's home. That was different.
Yeah, before we left, I actually managed
a homeless shelter. Africa children's home.
Yes.
And so the children's home was the beginnings of the unknown.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the unknown. And we committed to serve there a year. We stayed there a year and lived on site there. They had a large campus with mainly children who were failed adoptions. So we loved that portion, and then God led us somewhere else, and then God led us somewhere else.
Did you have heart for that? Here's where my question is going, because what triggers in my mind is, you've told me stories about, and our listeners haven't heard this, you've told me stories about the farm in South Africa,
mm-hmm,
and the children.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that wasn't a children's home. Was it a children's home?
No, it was just a farm that we brought
you guys,
children to hang out for like a weekend.
Thinking. You guys showed up And then all these kids, Pied Piper, Mindy, right? Mindy, yeah. The Pied Piper. All these kids show up with you guys and your family. And that opens your heart to these amazing children and these amazing situations, which you have told me weren't always easy. But like the farm became this place for kids.
Yeah. On the weekends, we would bring kids and they weren't there all the time, but that was kind of our heart, is just to love on kids. So we didn't have any agenda other than just loving on them. And
did that seem to open it in my mind? I'm like, what a precursor to going to do the unknown work in Idaho.
Yeah, for sure. We probably wouldn't even, I don't know that we would have considered it. We knew that we should get back to Idaho, but we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't have anything really lined up as far as a job.
I have found so often in my own life, you take a position in the kingdom, and then it opens you to another position, and then a third, and a fifth, and an eighth, and a tenth, and it's just this progressive thing down the road where if I hadn't done step one or two or three, I never would have arrived at 10. I just wouldn't have done the reps.
Yeah.
Like I just, now how I love children and how, you know, failed adoptions and whatever that may be, all of that space, I would have to think that those years in South Africa prepared your heart for the work with children later.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the things we saw, you know, like in a lot of third world countries and even emerging countries, is it's just difficult things that you see. You know, we had children that we loved in South Africa, one particular that passed away while we were there. And, you know, that's hard stuff. It was hard. And so going and then back to the States were equally hard, you know, different scenarios, but some difficult situations that, you know, you can't prepare for without, in my mind, without Holy Spirit guiding you. I couldn't have, because I wasn't that type of guy to just want to do this stuff. So he definitely changed my heart.
Yeah, I think that's important. Someone recently, a couple years ago, it was a fun story. I worked at Next Step, right? So that's a therapeutic community, sober living community. So I was working there for maybe a year, year and a half. And one day, I think, I wonder if I should get licensure as an addiction counselor. I wonder if that'd be helpful. You know what I mean? I think it would, but, you know, is it a waste of time? Do I need it? Do they need it? Does the company need it? So I went and talked to Dana Simons, and she's the director. And I asked her, and I didn't get the sentence out. And she's like, yes, right? I'm like, okay, well, I'll pursue this. So I was looking at Indiana Wesleyan, you know, North Indy, that area, and it would be a drive and quite a bit of money. And I'm like, okay, I'll entertain that idea. The next day, there was a press release that Duke Energy had gifted $175,000 to Ivy Tech for scholarships for licensed addiction counselors. Wow. Dana called me. I was in my car. I said, all right, well, I'm in the car now. I'll go down third and head to Ivy Tech. So I go down there, walk in, see the guy, chat with him. I say, hey, man, I'm here for that, you know, Duke Energy scholarship. He's like, man, it just came out like last night. Like, we haven't done a thing. We have no idea what we're doing. So I was the first recipient of the scholarship. Now, as a result of that, I did the year of classes, which were all free, paid for. It was at Ivy Tech, right in our backyard. It was amazing. Couldn't have been easier. If someone had done it for me, that's about the only way it could have been any easier. Yeah. So all that done. And now, because I was the first scholar to receive a scholarship, I get follow-up every once in a while. So just recently, a reporter retired from the Charlotte Observer, and they've contracted her to do a follow-up article, right? So she's talking with me just this week. She calls me and wants to do this, you know, 2 years later, follow-up thing. You know, we invested the money. What are you doing with it, right? So in our conversation, she says, how did you get in addiction? Which is awesome. And here's what I love most. Her job was to ask the questions. Like, her job was to dig it out, right, and ask the questions. And I was able to share with her this journey. Because when I came 6.5 years ago to pastor this church, addiction was not on my radar. Mm. Working with people with substance use disorder, not on my radar. Addiction counselor? No. Maybe mental health, you know, shame and emotional wounding and stuff like that. Maybe. But man, to think that I have the privilege to sit in rooms with people, and I realize I never smoked a joint, bro. Like, I haven't done a line of anything ever. And somehow, right, somehow God set this up, this course, and I'm sitting in a room. And I marvel myself. I'm like, how did I get in this room? Right? And I feel like it's these, just these little steps, like the curve of the road. You feel that thing happening in your story?
Yeah, for sure. Minnie and I sit back and think, how did we end up in Terre Haute, Indiana? We're Westerners. We grew up in the West. We're born and raised. And we just decided to say yes to the clouded valley, I guess you would say.
And now, okay, let's talk about Mindy. So you saw the vision.
Yeah.
She didn't see the vision.
No, she had already known before that. I was.
She didn't need a vision.
No, no. And
that's funny.
She said to me, I don't remember exactly the day, but I remember that I could see it in my mind. Like, hey, I think God's saying we should leave. And I was like, no, he's not.
Oh, so you mentioned that, right? So she's into it and you're like, no way.
Yeah. So when I said we were talking, she was already hearing prior to me listening, I guess.
Let's back it up a little bit. So prior to going to South Africa, you didn't have a longing as a 7-year-old to move to South Africa, did you?
Oh, no.
No, right? Yeah. So what's the story? Because here's where we're going with this. You know, South Africa, you identified as heaven on earth.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you didn't know that.
No.
When you left the States.
I did not know that.
Was that its own clouded valley of sorts?
For sure. We weren't even supposed to end up in South Africa.
Well, tell us that story.
So we're
back in Idaho.
Yeah, we're back in Idaho. Mindy and I met as in the corporate world. She was my boss at a tech company. And we were on a career path.
The tech
path.
Company that did the camera. Is that what
it's first mobile camera, yeah. That was a while ago for all you young ones listening. Yeah.
Still not bad.
Yeah, so we had careers, and after we met and got married later, we felt like we wanted to do something different. We felt like we weren't fulfilling our calling, I guess. We didn't know how to say it. We just didn't know what was going on.
You just felt like there's something more.
Yeah. So I actually...
Did you feel like God brought you two together for that purpose?
For sure. Yeah. Mindy was not... didn't grow up in a Christian church. She grew up in a different faith. And so I grew up as a pastor's kid who had left. So I was not walking with the Lord.
So how awesome. So, you guys come together and then this synergy of God's got something for us.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we ended up deciding to go to Mozambique to a missionary school. We had no money saved because Mindy had become a stay-at-home mom, and I got my master's degree and became a teacher in Idaho, which is like one of the lowest state of salaries of any states. So we were barely getting by financially, and God was like, hey, why don't you go try this missionary school? And we were like, you got to be kidding me. We have little kids, like a year old. Josiah was a year old. And anyway, through
it
all.
So 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, so the guidance piece of this is we had been praying about this. God, you have to confirm. We don't want to take our children to a dangerous country and do all this without your guidance. And we had told really nobody about what we were praying about, and we were part of a home group, and all we did was say this. We said, guys, we're praying about a decision that's really important to our family. Could you just pray over that? And if God gives you anything, one of my good friends, David Crowden, prayed this prayer over me that I was in tears about, because he was praying for safety over my family, and he was praying for provision and all the things that we needed. And then later his wife in the kitchen of this house told Mindy, looked her right in the eye, just one-on-one, saying, someday I'm going to go to Mozambique to harvest school as well. They knew nothing.
As well.
It's basically saying, I know God told me what you're going to go. And I think that's part of it as well, as you know, there is a confirmation piece to big decisions at times.
So that is, that's, I call that Acts 29 stuff, right? Acts chapter 29. Manifestation. What was your prayer? As you said it, you know, we're praying for confirmation. Do you recall what that prayer looked like and felt like, how long it was? Because that's where I think a lot of people listening feel like they are, right? They're in that space of, I don't know, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm, what is that prayer of confirmation? Was it just, Lord, confirm it? Was it something deeper, broader? Is it,
I think at that point in our life, it was like, you got to tell us like five times. We need like, you know, and it was just so much of a change for us that we needed a real life confirmation. The prayer was probably pretty simple of, God, we need you to really show us. That's it. And he did show us through several things, little things that if you're not paying attention, it wouldn't be there. We were watching a movie.
Interesting.
And the missionary in the movie was a missionary to Mozambique. Most people don't even know what that is. Like if I say Mozambique, a lot of people don't even know that's actually a country in our experience. And so right when we're praying that, we end up watching this movie. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Paying attention.
Yeah, just it's paying attention and it's trusting that he will answer.
Asking and listening.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, reverting a little bit to what we talked about earlier, asking and waiting.
Yeah.
With an open heart and an open mind.
Yeah. And sometimes the waiting is the hardest part for me personally. I don't like waiting. I want now answers. And so Mindy's much better at it. And so I've learned that in those weaknesses, he makes us strong, right? In our weaknesses. So I may have to wait longer because of my weakness in that area. And I have to learn through it.
Do you ever feel like the Lord has, I'll just say, people can take this a number of different ways, but I'll just say the Lord spoke to you, right? So whatever that may mean, prompted your heart, whatever, however that may be. Do you ever feel like you get in your own head with that stuff? That you have a tendency to, like the Lord has to be super clear or else you might manipulate it basically a little bit. I felt that in myself. For sure.
I ask him to be as clear as he possibly can so that I don't make up my own stuff, I guess is what I would say. Even lately, literally like weeks, the last few weeks I've had that prayer of, God, I just want to be transparent with you and people. I don't want to make up anything. I don't want to make a decision that you're not in, so, or that I haven't at least sought you for.
Yeah, I had a recent experience where I was going with expectation to meet the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going with an expectation of something happening.
Yeah.
My pastor talked with me, and so I basically make this trek across the country and days of praying and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it happened, but it didn't happen in the spot that everyone thought it was going to happen. And it happened before everybody thought it would happen.
Sure.
Like, you know, the special moment and the special place and the special service and all that. It happened for sure. Absolutely rock solid clear. But it didn't happen when everybody thought. And it wasn't even in a spiritual context. I was drinking a cup of coffee standing on the deck of a rental home.
Yeah.
Right? And that manifestation of God showed up. And that's the kind of stuff that I need.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I can doubt myself. I can either manipulate it or think it's manipulated, frankly, right?
Yeah.
You know, or hyped or, I mean, I have Pentecostal roots. So, you know, the hyped up jazz, yeah, that whole thing, right? Whereas when the Lord does something, not just out of the ordinary, but out of context, like it's out of that anticipated context and he shows up, mm-hmm. you know, you're walking around in the backyard and the bush catches on fire, yet it's not consumed. Yeah. Those kind of moments, exactly. Right? I need those.
I need those
because that's the way I'm going to say, okay, I did not manipulate that. No way. And I need that convincing for myself. I don't know if that's graduate school faith and guidance or not. I don't know. But it, in some ways, it feels fundamental. Like, I'm not manipulating that.
Yeah.
He is showing up and speaking to me. Yeah, so that's the stuff that the Lord's doing for you then.
Yes.
Through those people.
Through those people and has done for that for the last many years. I mean, we've made some major decisions on moving. Like just moving here during, you know, the time of COVID was, people are like, well, you can't move during COVID. Well, we are. We don't have anywhere else to go. We bought a house. Like, we're leaving. So we got to go. So, you know, our journeys are so unique. Everybody has a unique journey, and everybody has a unique journey with the Lord. I think the great thing about it is it's your journey, and they're all amazing. I love to hear people's journeys, and whether we hear the Lord as clearly as you and I speaking now, or it's clouded, you know, He's always speaking to us.
Well, and I think so you bring up a point of the recognition of this isn't some cataclysmic event. Like, this isn't the Halley's Comet of God speaking to us, right? Every 76 years, we get something, right? But and again, I'll revisit, because it was pretty powerful for me. Apologies for everybody having to hear this over and over, but you don't treat me like a father. Treat me like a business partner, not a father, right? And so my comfort level is to treat him like a business partner. Hmm. That is actually my comfort level.
Yeah.
To like, give me the info, give me the download. Thank you so much. I'm going to do something that's pleasing to you. I'm willing to serve you in this way.
Yeah.
But you're wanting me to climb up in your lap? What? Well,
right. I'm a grown man, you know.
Well, and recognizing the need for that. And you know what? I am a grown man, and my need for him is as great as ever.
Yeah. And we still need to come as children. And I think there's probably more men that, and women that identify with that too. Like, it's tough. It's hard. For me, anyway. I don't know, maybe it's me, but
I remember a story my grandfather to my dad. My dad did something. My grandfather just kind of scoffed, like, kid, you know, boy. You know. Yeah. He was 50 years old with four sons, you know. He's 50 years old. My grandfather looked at us like, you know, ugh.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that requires some wisdom, maybe humility. And isn't guidance all about humility?
Yes. It is. It's the ability to say, not only to the Lord, but to those people in your life that you trust with guidance. That's a whole nother topic, but I need help. I need you to, here's what I'm going through. Can you help me? And it may not even come down to a decision, but just have clarity of mind. That's for me. I ask those that I know will help me clear away the distractions so that I can see and hear clearly. And they may give me their opinion or guidance sometimes of what they think I should do, and they may not, and that's okay. I think being humble enough to say, I just need you to listen to this. This is what I'm going through. Can you give me a little direction here?
Yeah. The humility to ask, the humility to hear, the humility to take it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, closing this session out, I'd like to continue if you're up for that. I'd like to talk a little bit more about those people, and I'd like to hear a little bit more even about your take on corporate guidance, which would be conversations with these other people. But would you be willing to close us out in prayer over the folks listening and our conversation as we wrap this up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Father, we're thankful that you are so patient with us, that you love us. And that really you are the ultimate guide of our lives. Today we give you control. We ask you to take the little that we can give you and make it into something. And I'm thankful that we can do this together. So God, show us in all of our lives direction that we're seeking. Give us clarity. And bring this community even closer together. Thank you for those that are listening. Bless their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Awesome, man. Well, thank you for being willing to hang around with us, and we'll continue this conversation. I hope this has been meaningful for you as the listener, and thank you for joining us today. Connect with us next week as we continue this conversation, Josh and I, on guidance. And until then, take care.